I've coached nearly 100 women about their screen time, and here's what I've learned. Women actually don't care about their screen time. They care about those things that are impacted by their screen time. Their ability to be patient with their kids, the growth of their business, having time to pursue their creative dreams, their relationship with their husband, the inner peace that they feel, their confidence in themselves, their connection with God, their friendships, not missing out on their kids' childhoods. I'm Alex, and I'm here to help you find inner peace, enjoy true fulfillment, and be fully present. Welcome to the Mindful with Media podcast. I am so excited to have Megan Hubbard here. And will you go ahead and introduce yourself to us?
I'm excited to be here too. I thought it would be a little fun to introduce myself first by some of my fascinations rather than my roles.
Ooh, I love
so
this.
I'm someone who's always been really interested in the human body and brain and reproduction. My mind has always been very curious about those topics, and I still think they're a lot of fun. I remember even around third grade, my mom would take me to the library. I'd check out my Amelia Bedelia books, and then I'd go to the reference section and look at pictures of the heart and nerves and my stomach. You know, those drawings, I think, so fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And then the typical introduction, I've been married to my husband, Luke, for 18 years, and we're parents to four kids. They're ages 5 to 15. I've been a nurse for 16 years, 12 of those in labor and delivery. And I still work doing that about 1 to 2 weekends a month. And I'm a certified life coach and mindfulness trainer. I like to teach and coach moms who still have children at home, who want to feel more alive and at peace in their stage of motherhood. I know that there are moms out there like me a few years ago, and still sometimes, who had most of the life circumstances they once dreamed of, like being a wife and a mom and having a home and even a job that they love, but they end up resenting the dull and really difficult parts of the day-to-day, thinking that it should look and feel better or easier because they have so much to be grateful for. So my work I like to do is to help these women feel more peace and joy and confidence and fulfillment in their life and relationships.
I love that. And I think that's something that is so relatable for so many moms, like you say, who they've always dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom or having a job that they love, or like you say, it could be a lot of different things. And then there's this, yeah, resentment towards the life, and it's not as dreamy as they thought it would be in those moments. And so I think that's so powerful, the work that you do to help people to love that and to embrace that stage that they're in. And I don't know, I just love the work that you do. I think that's so powerful. And something that I really appreciate about Megan is that she often takes her work as a labor and delivery nurse and combines it with her work as a life coach. And it's just so helpful for me to like understand things. I think every mom is, at least I am, fascinated by childbirth. It's just such this amazing, unique experience. And so I love that you combine both works that you do, your life coach work and your nurse work.
For sharing that. I find it a lot of fun, and I get the most engagement and comments when I do share those things combined.
That's super interesting. Not surprised. Okay, so let's kind of get into some of your specialties. So I want to start by talking about, you said, let's see, you're a certified mindfulness trainer. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I'm trained in is a course that was taught at Stanford University back in the 70s. And now it's trainers like me are trained to bring it to the general public. And it can be in a class or one-on-one. And it's mindfulness and emotional intelligence tools.
Cool. That's awesome. So I feel like this mindfulness word is kind of a buzzword. I mean, I even have it in the name of my business and the name of my podcast, you know, being mindful. Yes. What is mindfulness? And kind of with that, like, what is meditation? Can you define that for me and for my listeners.
Yes, mindfulness is about being present. And there's lots of different kinds of meditation. My training is more than mindfulness. And the way I like to think about it, mindfulness meditation, especially for me, it's a practice of being present and observing thought without judgment, good or bad, and just noticing any wandering or distracting thoughts, and then coming back to right here, right now, to your focus, because it's in the presence where peace lives. And so you spend that time in a practice, and then you can take the skills that you learn in those 2 to 10 minutes, even it can be small, and you notice it showing up in your interactions, in your own self-talk in your mind, and in your relationships with others and conversations and experiences. We tend to be a lot more in the past where we might be having regret, or our mind is in the future where there's a lot of worry. And it's a practice of noticing that and being able to come back to the present when you really need to. And that without judgment part is huge. And is it okay if I just talk about why I think this is helpful right
Oh, for
now?
sure. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, you kind of already touched on this. I can already see, like, why this is so powerful, but I'd love, yeah, for you to dive in more about, like, why this is so helpful. For busy moms, for frazzled moms, for all of us.
Yes. So I think it can look something like this. I'm focusing on in the meditation part or the mindfulness breathing moment. I'm focusing on maybe the warmth of my hands on my lap or the expansion and contraction of my rib cage as I'm breathing. So that's my focus. And I'm focusing on this in and out. And then I start to think about what's for dinner? What am I going to make? What do I have in the fridge? And then I notice that. And I just label it thinking. I don't label it good or bad or judge it, just thinking. And then I redirect my focus back to my breathing, my rib cage opening and closing as I'm breathing. And then a few more breaths. And I notice I'm starting to think about, oh, I didn't make lunches last night. And then we were so rushed getting the kids out the door. And I feel so bad how I talked to them. And then I notice that I'm thinking again. And so maybe this time I just put those thoughts in a golden bubble and let them float away. And then I come back to my breathing. And sometimes a thought comes up while I'm meditating and I think, but I can't just put this in a bubble. It's so important. I really need to remember this. And sometimes then I just imagine like I've already written it on a note and I fold it up and I put it in a safe box and it's there for when I'm done. And I come back to my breathing.
Like you picture that in your mind of you like putting on a note. Cool.
Yeah, so not actually like writing out the whole thing, you know, it's a little quicker, just it's on a note. I'm folding it up, putting it in a safe place, and I'm going to find it when I'm done. And I go back to my breathing. And that feels a lot safer for those important thoughts or what feels really important in the moment that got to me for a while. So as you can see here, meditation is not about the absence of thought, which is what I used to think. It was just sitting there and your mind is blank. And if you start thinking, then you're doing it wrong. You're not really doing it wrong. It's that practice of noticing, coming back, noticing, coming back. Your mind is going to wander, but you're always coming back. So
And
it's
I think
kind of
that's
like a
so
game.
relieving to like you
Yes.
say, I think you can feel like I totally used to have that mindset of like, oh, I'm just so bad at meditation. But like you say, your brain is supposed to think. Like, of course you're gonna have thoughts come. I love that reframe of it's not the absence of thoughts. That's really cool.
And it is called a meditation practice. I think it's kind of like a game too. Life is the game. So you're only practicing for minutes. But if we use the sports metaphor, you go into the game of life, and that's where the real miracle is, where you see the benefits of it. As you're going about in your day to day, and maybe you feel like you're a frazzled mom, you're getting lots of sensory input. People are asking you questions, asking you to do things. You see the pile of laundry that you know you need to fold, and that's on your mental running to-do list along with everything else. And you're getting touched and so many things. It's easy to feel just blown around. This is how I imagine how it is for me, just feeling blown around by every phone notification, every request, every proverbial fire that you're walking around and trying to put out in your life, right? Undone projects or piles or messes to clean. And it's easy to get distracted. on your way to a task, or maybe you're wanting to have a really good conversation. Your child is telling you something that you know is really important to them, but your mind is so distracted by all these things. And so maybe they're wanting to tell you about a butterfly they saw on a nature walk at school or something, but you're just thinking about that laundry in the couch and how you want to get it folded before your friend comes over for the play date tomorrow. So mindful meditation helps you practice focusing on one sensory input at a time and not judging and just coming back to that focus, because it really is a small moment in time, usually, or you can give it that small time and then feel good about saying, I need to go do this now. I love that you told me that. I'm going to go take care of this now. And I find that that has helped me a lot more with the chatter in my head after. Oh, that was so bad. I shouldn't have gotten distracted. I can't believe I wasn't listening. I'm such a bad mom. I can't even listen to a whole story. I can't believe I went to text my mom about how she's doing after surgery and I ended up scrolling on Instagram for 10 minutes instead. That chatter can just go when you just say, like, oh, yeah, I was doing this. And I remember in your class, if you don't mind me sharing the inside out that I took with
Yeah,
you,
go ahead.
how you shared that you can just say, that's funny, when you notice that you're scrolling on Instagram, and then just redirect. And what I changed it to for me is just, oh, that's interesting. It's a little more curious than funny, but still just a redirection, no judgment, and just saying that out loud. Like you, I didn't used to say it out loud, but I say it out loud after I learned that from you. Just hearing my voice saying that too is helpful to do that redirection. And I'm a lot more likely to go back to what I wanted to do without all that mind chatter and just get it done. Right?
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. I love how you talk about it's a practice. You do the mindfulness meditation as a practice, just like you practice for a sports game. And then real life, when you want to text your mom about surgery and end up on your phone, or when you are trying to deal with the million things that come with caring for a household and your child wants to talk to you and there's a lot of sensory input, you know how to manage each of the inputs. I love that. Yeah, just how it applies to real life. And kind of with that, I think it can be easy as somebody who, a mom who is likely listening to this and has a lot of sensory input and feels so busy to wonder, like, how do you even find time for the practice of mindfulness meditation? Like, do you have any, practical ways and or practical advice for how to make that happen?
Yes. So I thought of a few that you can do on your own and even some that you can involve your kids in. So a few are, and all of them really involve using your senses. Sometimes in meditation, you're going to close your eyes to block out that sense, but sometimes you start with it. And so here are some. You can do a color walk. Go for a walk, and before you leave the house, just choose a color that you're going to be looking for. And as you go around, you'll probably be surprised how many things you spot that are that color. And that's what your awareness is focusing on. You can do that with your kids on a walk and invite them to do that with you. Or a sound walk, also, where you just go on your walk and you're listening, and every noise you hear, you just identify it. Oh, I hear a dog barking. I hear a car driving. I hear a bird singing. And you're just focusing on that one sense. Even as you're going on a walk outside, you can do also this with your kids or alone, sensual eating. So, using all of your senses, look at your food before you eat it, look at all the different colors and the textures, maybe smell it before you take a bite. And then you chew slowly, feeling the different textures, identifying different tastes. I've done this with a salad, I've done it with reheated pizza, I've done it with a Snickers bar. It doesn't matter what it is. And it can make it for more fun for yourself, or especially with kids. If you imagine you're kind of like an alien, or this is a completely new food experience you've never had before, and just getting really curious about all the senses involved with eating. And you can have a mindful shower or even hand washing, where you're just really focusing on how it feels when the water hits you, or watching how the light shines off the water that's washing your hands. So it can be just a few minutes or it can be the whole shower, just really feeling it and then redirecting your thoughts when you find yourself thinking about other things.
Yeah.
If you're in the car line and you don't have smaller kids, right now all my kids are in school. So if I'm in the car line waiting for them, I'm alone. I'm there early, have a few minutes. I can close my eyes and do some mindful breathing. And the last one I thought of was if you pray before you go to bed at night, doing some proprioception. So that's being mindful of where your body is in space and just like going head to toe and or feeling like your feet or knees on the ground and feeling your clothes on your body, or maybe the air, if you have a ceiling fan on as it's hitting your skin, just feeling all these different things and getting mindful and grounded for that moment. It can be very short.
I love these examples that you shared because I think when I think of any sort of meditation practice, in my mind, I picture myself turning on, what's that app called? Insight Timer. I love that app.
Okay.
And especially if I'm having a hard time sleeping, I'll turn that on and it has some meditations to help you fall asleep. But they're like, I mean, they have shorter ones too, but they're at least like 5 minutes long, right? 5 minutes to 30 minutes long. And it's like, I could make it happen in my day, but I don't picture myself in my day setting aside 20 minutes to like do a yoga pose and like just sit there with absence of thoughts. I think that's what comes to
Exactly.
mind, you know, like
Yes.
when I think of meditation. So I love, 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 love these examples that are like, you're already doing these things. You're already going to go on a walk. You're already going to be picking up your kids at school. You are going to be already going to be eating a meal. And it's just taking those things that you're doing and focusing in, you know, taking a shower. Yeah. And I really relate because I am very intentional with my thoughts. Like, I'm intentional about what I think about. And so often, if I'm on a walk or if I'm in a shower or something, like, I have certain questions that I like to guide what I think about. But I know that I have room for improvement to not even think, you know, like they said, like of course thoughts will come and go, but really taking a step back from even the constant thinking and just the physical presence. The what was that word you used? The proprioceptive?
Proprioception.
Proprioception. Just
Yes.
yeah, just focusing in on my senses instead of focusing in on my thoughts so much. So that's definitely something that I want to try and to work on. I love that. So yeah, what are some of your favorite ways to be mindful or to meditate?
The first thing that came to mind, because I saw a recent reel that you did about transitions and how you've noticed for yourself and other moms, where we find ourselves scrolling, pulling out our phone for whatever reason during transitions. And so I've started doing this more since seeing that from you, is using this tool during transitions. So for example, pick up my kids, they're out of the van when we get in the garage, they're in the house, they're getting their snack or whatever. And I'm like, this is, I know we've got lessons coming up, we gotta do this fast, and then I gotta do this and get this started for dinner. We've got to get back into. I'm going through all these things in my head about what the next few hours are going to look like and how hard it might be, right? And I just want to pull out my phone for 3 minutes and look on Instagram. And next thing I know, it's been 15 minutes and my 5-year-old's opening the door to the garage. I'm still in the van and he's like, "Mom, I need you to pour me some milk." You know? So instead of pulling out my phone, I can do something mindful like the calm palm. And I've seen this on blogs and things too. I teach it in my class, though. And you start at the base of your thumb, and you're using a lot of your senses again. You're looking at your palm, the lines, the textures, and you use your opposite hand, the index finger, to trace from the base of the thumb up to the top as you breathe in. And then as you go down your finger, you breathe out. In, up to the index. And down. And you do that if you trace all the way through your pinky and back through the other. That's 10 deep breaths. Using your sight by watching yourself do it, you're doing a soft, gentle touch. You're slow, deep breathing. And it feels very nurturing. I think to be touching your own hand that way and to be doing the slow deep breaths, and I feel much more ready after that. Takes about 2 minutes, maybe tops, to go through those 10 breaths, and then I'm ready to go in and meet the next few hours.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites during transitions.
It's called the calm palm, is that what you call it?
Yes.
I've never heard of that one. I like that.
And then my other favorite, if we can take a couple minutes to do that as well.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So it can be used as a meditation, but you do start with your eyes open. And it's to practice moving from thinking to not thinking. So find an object in the room that you want to focus on. And then take some time and think as many thoughts as you can about it. About its color, texture, shape, whatever. Think, 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 think. And now stop and just be with the object. Look at it again. And you're not thinking anything about it. Just be with it. And then you close your eyes and do the same thing. Imagine the object. Think as many thoughts as you can about it. And now pause and just be with the object in your mind. And you can come back. How was that?
I love that.
It's one of my favorites. And
Yeah, that's cool.
you can do it before meditating to get you in that mode, or you can just do it by itself. Sometimes I do that at work at the hospital. It can get really crazy there too. I do it at home, I do it at work, and it's really brief and it really helps me just bring my focus back and to just being and not judging things as so hard or stressful. I can have lots of thoughts about things. And also, I can just be here with it and do what I need to do.
Again, I love how it's like that. I just coming back to that, the practice, you know, it's like you practice it with, I was doing with my blinds just barely, you know, practice it with my blinds, and then I can do it with whatever potentially, you know, that more stressful or more serious thing going on in my life. Like, yeah, I can think all these thoughts about it and I can just be with it. I love that.
I feel like, so I talked earlier about how I felt like the stressors of motherhood and everything that goes along with it, I felt like I was being just blown around like a leaf in the wind, this direction, that direction. I didn't have much control over it. I just had to take it as it comes. And I feel like this gives me a little more control, having this mindfulness practice, a little more control over my inner experience. I feel like I have an anchor. So now, like, even if I'm a ship on the sea where there's winds and sometimes storms, I have a place that I know I'm attached to. I know I can come back to. I think too about, I teach one exercise class a week. It gets me lifting weights and it's my
Love
accountability because I'm the teacher.
that.
And we always start every class with proprioception. We stand with good posture, have our hands on our belly. And know what it feels like to have that neutral spine, that good posture, that neutral spine. And we carry that posture as much as we can through the movements, squats, backward stepping lunges, whatever we're doing with our weights. And I'm often saying to them, now imagine your hands are on your stomach. Is your spine neutral? And so even as we're adding load, adding weights to these movements where we're hinged over, or we're stepping back and we need to be balanced. It's all part of the strength. So we don't always stand tall. We wouldn't really build our muscles if we were always staying in one position. We're moving in these other positions and we're adding load, and it's really challenging. But we have this base of this strong neutral spine. And always in between the moves, you come back to that as well and you reset. And that's also been something I've been thinking about lately about this mindfulness and how it's an anchor for me. It's this neutral spine that I'm always coming back to reset and take some part of it with me into these challenges that are actually strengthening me. It's not bad to have all these challenges that motherhood brings. There's a great learning experience and strengthening experience to all of them. And I wouldn't want to not have any of them necessarily. It would be boring and not growth inducing, right? So it helps
I
me to think of it that
love
way
that
too.
analogy. That's really cool. Having the anchor to come back to, and we're gonna have load, we're gonna have strengthening experiences and things that are gonna feel, stressful and heavy at times, but you have that anchor to come back to for that inner peace amidst it all. That's something I've been thinking a lot about lately, is creating inner peace and what it means to have inner peace amidst real life. Like, we all live in real life. None of us are immune to the weights and the load and the strengthening experiences. And so I think these are really beautiful examples of how to create inner peace amidst it all, amidst the realities of life. Do you have any other stories or examples you want to share of how mindfulness and meditation has helped you in your life?
So I did think about my 8-year-old son who loves Minecraft. He wanted to play Minecraft so bad when he was 3 and a half that he begged his older brother to teach him, and he actually taught himself to read from Minecraft. That's
Oh my gosh.
pretty impressive because he wanted to be able to type things in that he wanted to find.
No
So
way,
he
that's
loves
awesome.
Minecraft. He still loves it. And he's often wanting me to play with him. He wants to show me something and explain every detail. I'm just not that interested in it. And I would rather, sometimes he's just going on and on, and I say, and I sit next to him and I just want to pull out my phone and read something more interesting to me, or have one earbud in maybe and be listening to a podcast while half listening to him. And it was very hard to sit there. But as I tried to bring some mindfulness into it, I'm focusing more on his joy, his excitement, his fascination, and his invitation to have me there. And so I focus more on how I want to be connected to him. So before he might say something like, well, he's talking da 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 da, and say, like, guess, mom. He wants me to guess something about it. And I think, oh my goodness, what am I even guessing about? When I am voice mirroring him, focusing on him, and coming back to that conversation, I can answer that question. And maybe I do set a timer for 5, 10, or 15 minutes. I know I have that endpoint and I can just focus with him. And that's been so connecting for me, for my experience in my relationship with him. And I'm pretty sure it is more enjoyable for him as well when I'm paying more attention.
That's such a beautiful story. And I think, again, that's something we can all relate to, of being not interested in the things our kids are interested in. And that's
Yes.
healthy too, right? We're not supposed to be interested in the same things. And that's
Yeah.
okay. I love that you talk about, setting that boundary of how much time you're willing to give to that. But that, yeah, that's such a beautiful invitation from him, that he wants you to be in his world of Minecraft. I
Yes.
remember when I was doing like ACT prep in high school, I remember the reading section. Like, I don't even know where I heard this, but somebody told me, whenever you're doing like the reading section, just pretend like it is the most fascinating information in the world. Like, that you're just, I don't know, whatever it is, bugs or history or whatever, like, you happen to be reading about, just pretend that like you love that subject just for that, like, half an hour or whatever, because you'll retain the information better. And I was actually just thinking about that concept with my kids. Like, when I'm trying to, I don't even know what we were doing. I think it was like doing a puzzle with my son or something. And I actually like puzzles, but I was finding myself, like, my mind wandering, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to pretend for these next 10 minutes that I love doing this same puzzle we've done a million times, that it's the most
Yeah.
interesting thing in the world to me. And it makes it so much easier to just pretend for a few minutes. So I don't know. I just love that. But that's what mindfulness is. It's
That's
just
great.
focusing in. And so thank you for sharing that
Yes.
example.
You're welcome.
Any other, stories or examples that you have?
Yes, this is a little more general because I couldn't think of a specific example. But as you're doing these mindfulness practices or meditation, really sensing your body and seeing how things are different, or sensing how things are different outside of it, I feel like it helps me with physical and emotional boundaries too. It helps me be more of the observer of even my inside experience, but also thinking about sometimes I think of like with my teenagers or with my husband, I think of the inside out characters and what could be going on inside their mind, just observing it in that way. And I can just be more of a witness to inform my response than quite as in it and involved, if that makes sense. But I'm still present. So maybe I might otherwise get sucked into their emotions, and with any of my children, want to like coddle them to get that to go away, or get defensive, or just want them to stop. Have you seen Dr. Becky from Good Inside, some of her videos and her
Yeah, I
example?
love
She
her.
does a great job of doing an example, and I feel like being more mindful has helped me to do some of those things like she shares. And just it's really that what I'm trying to describe here is that practice of being the observer, where me is the one observing and not always sucked into the fear or the defensiveness or the sadness of whatever emotion is going on for the other person or for me in response to it, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. 100%. So that book, Good Inside by Dr. Becky, I'd heard about it
Yes.
for like, I don't know. It's a very popular parenting book, right? But I was like, nah, I don't need that. Like, we're good. And then this, like, I don't know, this maybe a few months ago, I was like, okay, we gotta figure something out. Like, we really need some help in our parenting. And so I suggested that book to my husband, and I like had ordered it on Amazon, and he was listening to it on Audible, and so he like read most of it before I even got it. This I'm like totally getting off track, but it was really cool to have him being the one taking the lead on parenting situations.
Oh,
Like, I
yes.
feel like it's one of those like mental load things that you don't realize is impacting you. And then with him, like, our son would be having a really intense, it's these sensory meltdowns that are really intense. And so my husband was the one like taking things he'd learned from Good Inside and like, okay, this is how we handle this. And I was like, this is so nice to like have someone else take charge on this. But you said something else that, oh, but then we talk about like, okay, this is the ideal. How do we actually do that? Like, how do we actually respond in the way that we want to in that moment? And so I love mindfulness and meditation can be a way to actually do that, to actually respond in the way
Yes.
you want to.
And some of those experiences that I've had, the moment is over and I'm thinking, wow, I did that really good. And I think that's kind of like my meditation this morning, or I think that that helped me with this, and I make that connection afterward.
Yeah, you don't realize it in the moment. So my business has been such a journey. I started out realizing I had a major problem with my phone use, and I was like, okay, I gotta start talking about this. I didn't have the answers yet, but I was like, I'm gonna start talking about this. And then I figured things out. I figured out ways to, I don't waste time on my phone anymore. I'm very intentional with my phone use. And I think I didn't realize what I was doing, but I was essentially figuring out healthy ways to cope with my emotions. I was doing mindfulness things without realizing that's what I was doing. And as a result of being intentional with my phone use, it's impacted all these other parts of my life. Like you say, I'm way better able to manage hard things with my kids and, difficult conversations with my husband and just all these things that didn't seem related to my phone use. And it all comes back to, like you say, being mindful and doing those meditation practices instead of
Yeah.
scrolling on my phone. So that's cool.
I share one more thing that I'm thinking of as you were talking about that. I've got to pull in labor somewhere here in this interview, in
Yes,
this
you
conversation, right?
do.
So if we think of life like labor, and you've got contractions, and when you're experiencing that, even though you've got usually you should have at least a minute between the end of one and the start of the next, that minute feels very short. And during that time, a lot of women, maybe their epidural is not working well, or they don't have an epidural, right? They're just in between that time, they're hyperventilating or they're tense, and they're just thinking about how hard that was and that they know there's another one coming. But during that time, that muscle, that uterus muscle, is resting. And that's so important for the muscle to maintain its strength to do the next one and for oxygen to flow to the placenta and the baby. Because it doesn't during the tension, and it has oxygen reserves, the baby does, to get through that time. But it's so important to take that minute to rest, to relax, to breathe, so that you can be strong for the next one. And a lot of times I do have to remind them, that one's over. I know this feels fast, but let your shoulders relax into the bed, slow down your breathing, and you can do this next one. So I think of mindfulness as being that rest and that reminder to come back to rest. We know there's more contractions coming. We know it hurts. But when you've got this minute, take it. Don't let it go to waste. It's really important so that you can be strong for those contractions, those painful, hard moments that are important to get to your end goal.
I love that. Don't waste that rest time you have either thinking, reliving that past contraction you had, or anxiously anticipating the next one that's going to be so painful. Take that time to rest, take that time to reset, to come back to your anchor, to yeah, let
Yes.
I love that. That
Let's
is,
spend that rest time intention.
oh, like social media post right there. Don't spend that rest time intention. I love that so much. Any other stories or examples?
Okay. I feel like I've got all my good ideas coming and I'm so excited to share them. One last thing. Have you ever heard of Kelly McGonigal and her TED Talk, How to Make Stress Your Friend?
No, but it sounds amazing.
It's amazing. I think it's over 10 years old, but I still
Okay.
pull it out sometimes and listen to it because it's so good. It was mind-blowing to me when I first saw it. I could see where I had done what she talks about before and how it had been so helpful. I just didn't realize how healthy it was and how you can do it over and over again. So she talks about how, we often think of stress as the silent killer, and stress brings on so many diseases. But when you can notice that there's stress or that there's a stressful situation, and I'm trying to think of how she describes it because it's been a while since I watched it again. But when you don't fear the stress, your blood vessels aren't as tight. So your blood pressure isn't as high. You can be experiencing stress and maybe you have a higher heart rate. Maybe you're breathing a little bit faster, but you notice that as ways to help you deal with whatever's coming. And you don't have all of the adverse responses of stress because.
Like the way your body is responding kind of thing, like the adverse,
Yes.
those adverse effects.
Yes. So some of those that maybe are helpful, you can allow, or you're just not so stressed about stress. So I don't know if
Yeah.
you want to like find that and link to it in the show
I
notes because
for
I love
sure
that
will link it in
video.
the show notes. Yeah. What
It's
was
so good.
the title of it again?
How to Make Stress Your Friend.
Okay.
Kelly McGonigal. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes back to what we were talking about earlier of like your analogy of the lifting weights, and having your anchor that you come back to. Like everybody is going to have stress. Everybody is going to have things that, I don't know, I'll come back to stress in your life. Like it's not bad to have stress, I think sometimes on social media, it seems like everybody has things figured out. And so we assume that means they don't have stress or they don't have challenges of
Yes.
any sort. And it's like, no, we all have our things. It's just figuring out ways to manage that in a healthy way and to, yeah, make it your friend. I love that. I'm really excited to listen to that. Sorry, I'm like My voice is all going funky.
And it goes back to too what I was saying about how in my life when I feel like I have all these things that I always wanted and that I'm grateful for, but they also make my life so hard. And why don't I like them? Why don't I like them more? If they're on my things I'm grateful for list, why don't I like them more? Why doesn't it make it easy or more exciting to just be like, I'm just going to do this because I'm so glad I'm a mom. You know, it's fine. And I can't think of how I was going to say that better in my head. Sounded better in my head. But anyway, just being like, yeah, this is part of it. And it's not a bad thing that some of these things are hard. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. And it doesn't mean that I'm bad at this. It's just part of learning each new stage and doing life. And if I'm not stressed about it being hard or not liking it sometimes, it's a lot easier.
I could not agree more. I feel like once I learned that and internalized that, that's when my life like flipped and was so much better. Is like, yeah, not freaking out about every hard thing that happens, or not even every hard thing that happens, but not freaking out when I experience stress or experience, emotion, normal human emotions, like feeling frustrated with my kids. Doesn't mean I'm a bad mom. It means I'm a human. And like, oh, kind of coming back to, yeah, earlier, like, oh, that's funny, or that's interesting. Like, I'm feeling things. Like, what does that mean for me? What is that trying to communicate to me? Like, what needs do I have that aren't being met? Or what's going on here? Or what changes can I make? And then you can actually make changes instead of freaking out of like, oh, I just can't get my life in order. Oh, I can't just get a hold of myself. Oh, I just can't get this figured out. It's like, you actually probably have it figured out. You're just freaking out that you don't.
And I love how you're doing that because when you feel like you're doing it well, you're asking yourself questions like, what do I need right now? Whatever other questions you're asking, curiosity is the antidote to judgment. Because you could be saying, I can't believe I'm acting this way. I can't believe I'm feeling this way about my kids. But instead, you're just getting curious.
What was that? Curiosity is the antidote for judgment.
For judgment.
That's true of ourselves and for other people, right? I think when you judge
Absolutely.
other people, we could go on a whole topic about that, but
I
like
know.
when you start judging other people, if you can take back and get curious of why they're acting away, whether that's your kids or, in-laws or whoever it is, when you get curious, it's like, oh yeah. It helps take away that judgment. Okay, so kind of, I guess, like on that idea of, not being so judgmental of yourselves, coming back to doom scrolling, if someone notices that they're doom scrolling, how can they let go of any shame that they have and get back on track in that moment?
Just like I talked about in the meditation, you notice the thought and just label it. Sometimes I even imagine like sticking a sticky note on it. Post-it note that says thinking, just be like thinking, and it's on a conveyor belt and it just goes by. Just noticing, oh, you can say, oh, that's funny, or oh, this is interesting, or just label it distraction and put it away.
Just giving it a
And
different label, because there's a subconscious label going on that I'm a bad person. I don't have any self-control. I, whatever it is, there's all these subconscious labels going on. So if you can replace those labels with, oh, distraction, oh, thinking, oh, whatever it is.
And like you said, all these things, you're making it mean about yourself, especially if you set goals not to do it at this time or for this long or whatever, and you realizing, oh, I didn't meet my goal, or I still made this mistake even though I was really trying hard. It's like, oh, distraction labeled, let it go. And maybe you have a time where you evaluate your day or your week, and that can be a time where then you problem solve or look at it objectively. But right in that moment, you don't need to judge it. I think it helps, like you said, to put put a different label on it. No meaning right then.
Yeah.
Just label it, put it away, and move on for the moment.
Totally. And I think something that some clients that I've been working with on this is like the way that they talk about their doom scrolling at other times, like not in the moment, like, oh, I'm so bad with my phone use, or oh, I hear that a lot. Oh, I'm so bad. I doom scroll all the time. Or, oh, I'm so bad. I said I was going to do this. And then I start doom scrolling again. Even just the way that you talk about it at other times is going to feed into that moment. And so at
Oh,
other
yeah.
times, replace that label too of I'm good with my phone use. And sometimes I get distracted. You know, like, I don't know what you want to replace it with, but I think that can be an example of like a non-judgmental way that you talk about your phone use or your scrolling.
And then whether you're working on it with a coach or on yourself, journaling or just thinking about it later, that's when you can look at this is what happened. This is maybe what started it or triggered it and work on those points there. But in that moment, I don't think it's always the time to be problem solving or, thinking I did this really well or this not really well in the moment. What do you
Yes.
think?
Especially because you're probably turned to it in when you're not in a good place. And so unless you can switch back to a good place pretty quickly, which you can get faster that. I feel like that's something I've gotten a lot faster at, but more likely than not, you're not in a great emotional state. And so like you say, it's probably not the best time to problem solve. Like you say, you want to wait till you're not so attached to the situation and until you're regulated emotionally, I would say.
Yes, great. Great. So that switching the label of it and just bringing back what you shared, but getting curious, what am I avoiding?
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
that was really great too. So good.
Thank you. Okay, this has been so fun. Any last things that you want to touch on?
I think I've said everything I came to say, and it was so fun. I'm excited that you invited me to do this with you.
Oh, I'm
Thank
so
you.
grateful you'd be willing to. Can you let my listeners know where they can find you and how they can work with you?
So I know we talk a lot about doom scrolling on Instagram, but
Yeah.
Instagram is the best way to find and connect with me. So Megan Hubbard Coaching is my handle, and Megan is spelled MEAGAN. I don't know why my parents did it that way. They don't have a good answer for it either. That's my name. And I do have a website, meganhubbard.com. It's a wonderful work in progress, but it does have a way to contact me there by email and to sign up for my mindful eating email series that I call Slow Down to Speed Up, and my I Receive guided meditation recording.
Oh, I love that.
And then I currently have three spots open for one-on-one clients, and I just do one-to-one right now. I have no classes running. I do a 12-week coaching package, and I also offer the Mindful and Emotional Intelligence course, the Clarity Catalyst, one-on-one. And that's more teaching with some coaching involved. So you can go to my Instagram. There's a link there to book a consult or a conversation, where I'd just love to hear from you, especially if you liked what you heard here. If it resonated with them or helped them in some way, they can DM me. I would love to hear from them.
Hey, I love that so much. Everybody go check out Megan on Instagram or yeah, her website. I love that. Thanks so much.
Alex.
And if you feel like your life is good, but it could be better, I would love to chat with you. The only way for me to explain what I do is for you to experience it. You can sign up for a free coaching session using the link in the show notes.